We're going to rejoice and be glad in it, Lord God. First of all, Lord God, we thank you for our apostle, for the visionary of this school and this ministry, Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. We thank you, Lord God, for the anointing that's on his life, Lord God. We thank you right now for the covering that he covers and protects us with, Lord God. And we just thank you for the word and impartation that we receive from him. We thank you for this school and each and every instructor here, Lord God, and the anointing that's upon their lives. And we thank you, Lord God, that we are receiving impartation and revelation knowledge each and every session, Lord God, that we're growing and maturing up in the things in Christ, that we're going to be strong and we're going to do exploits, Lord God. We just give you all the praise and all the glory for what you're doing by your Spirit. And Father, as always, I just expect the Holy Spirit to show up, because I know that if he don't show up, I'll fall flat on my face. I'm dependent totally upon him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to be coming from our book around page 100. Well, let me get the exact page. So if you want to follow along in your book, you can. That'll make it easier for you. I said 100, actually, starting at page 91. And we're going to be looking at how to build honor and 10 things that we can use in order to build honor. Amen. Last week we talked a little bit about Jabez and how Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, you know, because Jabez did not disrespect nor did he dishonor his mother. But even though he was born under hard circumstances, he respected and he honored and his mother. And by doing so, when he prayed a prayer, God answered his prayer, you know, even though his prayer was, as the author says, a somewhat of a colossal prayer, you know. But because of his honor to his mother, God honored his prayer. But one of the things the author does say, there's a lot of ministries that are crippled because they disrespect their leaders, disrespect protocol, they disrespect those who are in spiritual authority, and by doing so, their ministry is stunned and they're crippled. And what we're going to be talking about in this session is how to reverse that crippling effect, how to reverse ministries not moving forward like they should move, and how by sowing seeds of honor and building honor, you can begin to see ministry and even your personal life begin to expand. The first way, and really one of the most important aspects of building honor, according to the author, says, pray for the spirit of wisdom in order to help you to build honor. So the first thing you must pray for, and we talked about this last week at the end of the class session, is wisdom. And we know that wisdom is the principal thing. Principal meaning first in rank, most important, essential thing. You must pray for wisdom. In the book of James chapter 1 through 5, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Then it says in verse 5, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and unabraded not, and it shall be given him." It is important to pray for wisdom. One of the things the author said, that's something we really should do daily. Pray for wisdom, the wisdom of God. You know, every step we take in life, especially turns, directions in life, career, you know, marriage, where are we going to stay? What ministry shall we sit under? We need God's wisdom in each and every area of our lives. That's because the only way to properly walk in honor is to have that wisdom where God can give you sound direction so that you can make the proper steps. I like the terminology one minister used. He says he likes to always be as a barefooted priest. Now, in the Old Testament, the priest, the high priest, when he went into the temple, he had to first offer up sacrifices for himself, because he's going to offer up sacrifices for the sins of the people for a year as an atonement. It only covered sin for 1 year. It didn't wipe it out. Jesus was the one who completely wiped out sin with his one sacrifice. But the high priest would go in barefooted with bells on his robe, and they would tie a rope around his foot, and he would walk very gently, because he wanted to make sure that every step and everything he did was according to God's design, because he was walking on holy ground. And if he messed up or did something wrong, or if he didn't, you know, get his sin offering done right, he would fall down dead. And when they stopped hearing the bells, they would just pull him out. Nobody would go in there to get him. Excuse me. They would just pull him out. But the reason why I'm saying that, in life, we need to know how to make right choices, though we won't fall down dead, but it could make life so much easier when you follow God's wisdom and God's instruction for your life. That goes without saying. Knowing that you're in the right ministry, knowing that you're in the right marriage, knowing that you're in the right career. You know, I mean, and I've shared times even in my life when there was a turn or a decision I had to make, when I'd go off in the park or in the woods somewhere and just pray and ask God for his direction. God, I need wisdom. And sometimes I wouldn't get an answer just then and there. But later on, as time went by, the Lord would show me, no, this is not my will for you. No, that's not the person you should marry. You know, I remember very distinctly. You know, I asked God about, you know, a particular person. He said, no, that's not my will for you. She's not my will for you. But I do remember very distinctly, years ago, a friend of mine, we went to pick up, at the time, she was just an acquaintance. Now she's my wife, from the Greyhound station. She was coming back from a co-op when we were students. And I wasn't going to go initially, but I just said, okay, I'll come with you. And then while we were in the car coming back from the bus station after we picked her up, the Lord spoke to my heart. And he said, have you considered my servant, Robin? And I'm saying to myself, no, Lord, I hadn't considered her. Do I need to consider her? You know, but that's all he said. You know, but that's even that. That's the wisdom of God. God is telling me, because I had already prayed over this matter, you know, because I'm waiting for God to give me an answer. And the answer came right then and there, but it didn't come as though this is the person. He just said, have you considered her? Because it's going to be a choice. You got to make, he brings the answer to you, but you got to make a choice. But anyway, let me just move on. But in every aspect of life, you know, in everything that we do, we need God's wisdom. And in order to operate and walk in honor, because, you know, by marrying my wife and some of the, I mean, I've talked about aspects of my life where, you know, I was in one city and they wanted me to send me to another city. And the Lord, me and her got together, prayed, you know, having a praying wife and somebody who want to go in the same direction that you're going spiritually, made a big difference. You know, made a big impact in everything that we do, because how can two walk together except it be in agreement? And that's so very important. And for that, you definitely need God's wisdom. And what it'll do, it'll bring you into honor. You know, areas of my life right now where God has brought me into honor was because of decisions that were made years ago. A lot of decisions that are made by logic, positions are taken with a lack of wisdom. Sometimes people want to use business sense or use understanding of counselors that are using rationale and maybe logical or have logic to it, but it's not walking in the spirit of wisdom, not walking in godly wisdom. Proverbs 8:14 says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, this is talking about wisdom, princes rule, nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Now listen to this. Riches and honor are with me. yea, durable riches and righteousness. So when you find wisdom, you're gonna find our honor is gonna be there. And not only will honor be there, but riches will be there, you know. Then it goes on to say, yea, durable riches and righteousness. Walking in wisdom brings you before great people. Walking in wisdom teaches you how to go in properly and how to come out properly. What I mean by that is it teaches you how to walk humbly before men. Walking in wisdom. It's so very important. Anytime you see a person that is arrogant, belligerent, or any time you see somebody who doesn't know how to treat people of either high caliber or people of low esteem, that's a person that doesn't know how to walk in wisdom. Because wisdom will never degrade or embarrass wisdom, every time wisdom speaks, the words are seasoned with salt. Now, wisdom may be firm and direct, but wisdom is going to give you instructions in righteousness. Amen. So the number one and the first way to build honor is to walk in wisdom. Number two, the second way to build honor is walking in humility. Humility, walking humbly before God, walking humbly before men, not having the big head, not thinking that you all of that. And one of the things we've learned recently here at Word of Life Christian Center, that the only true way to really walk in true godly humility is by denying your flesh. What I mean by denying your flesh, by as you fast and pray and put your body under subjection so now God can speak to you more clearly. You know, by separating yourself from food for a season, and by fasting and praying, you walk in true humility. Because basically, true humility is this. Humility is, in sum total, is the capacity of a person's spirit to submit totally to the power of God, submitting your spirit and your gifts totally to God. I'm going to read that again. Humility, in sum total, is the capacity of a person's spirit to submit totally to the power of God, submitting your spirit and your gifts totally to God. And in order to do that, you can't have nothing in the flesh that's going to, because see, the flesh is going to always go the easy route. The flesh is going to always go for something that's pleasurable. The flesh is going to always go for something that amplifies you, you know, and it should be not me, but Christ. But when you walk in humility, you're saying, Lord, you know, I yield myself to you as a yielded vessel unto you, to have your way in me, to do what you desire to do, you know, in me. And that's true, total humility. By submitting to God, what God has called you to do and to serve under who God has called you to serve under. That's walking in true humility. Humility is when God owns you. Does God own you? In other words, if God gives you an assignment, can he trust you to carry out that assignment? If God tells you to submit to a particular man of God or a particular ministry or to work in a particular area of ministry, are you walking in humility enough to say, Lord, here am I, Lord, send me? You know, that's true and total humility. When you submit or walk in submission, you align yourself under, and we talked about this last week, under or sub means under, like as a submarine travels under the water, under the mission of another. You use your anointing, your gift, your talent to undergird, uplift the mission, the vision that God has called you to serve under. You know, submission. There's no sidelines, there's no hidden agendas, there's no ulterior motives when you walk in humility. A person's power must be seen in their humility. The Bible talks about Numbers, in Numbers chapter 12, how, and we talked about this in earlier classes, how Aaron and Miriam got on Moses because he married the Ethiopian woman. And right in those same passages in Numbers, the Bible says God had Moses put in the Bible that at how Moses was very meek, you know, the meekest man on the face of the earth. Now, Moses was very meek. Why? The reason why Moses was so meek was because Moses, when he heard God's voice, he obeyed God. When he saw the bush burning, he went to see it. When God told him that he was going to use him to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt, Moses yielded to God. He said, "Lord, who am I?" And God says, "You know, Moses, what can I tell him who sent me?" You know, he said, "Tell him that I am sent you." And Moses went with that staff, him and Aaron, and he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. But even in humility, you got to be careful, because right before they went into the promised land, God told Moses, at one time he kicked the rock, and that was okay. But then another situation, God told him to speak to the rock, and he kicked it. And because of that disobedience, Moses never entered into the promised land. You know, one of the things I have learned in humility and obedience is you know, make sure that you do what you're told. Sometimes in ministry, you may only get one shot at something. One shot, and it's so very important to follow the instructions. You know, follow and do what you're told, align properly, because sometimes that second opportunity may not come around. You know, or sometimes people get offended when they get corrected and they never get the offense right, and because of that, they stun their opportunity and their growth in ministry. The main thing is to keep, okay, I don't want to get ahead of myself, because I kind of want to move on to number three, which is walking in the spirit of integrity and being upright in heart. But the main thing is keeping your integrity and your anointing intact by walking in the spirit of humility. When you walk in the spirit of humility, you're humbling yourself, and it's not about you anymore. One of the things I've had to learn over the years, it's really not about me, but it's about me doing the will of God for my life and hearing his voice, excuse me, and obeying God. And by doing so, you can't help but be blessed, because now you're being a channel for God's power and for God's blessing to flow through. Walking in the spirit of integrity and being upright in conduct, being honest and having you know, a spirit of soundness and good character. Now we're going to get into number three, which is walking in the spirit of integrity. And that word integrity is meaning, you know, being honest, being fair, having a soundness, no incorruptibility in what you do, no inconsistency, you know, having upright conduct. And that's so very important in order to build honor. Proverbs 26:1 says, "As the snow in summer and as the rain in harvest, so honor is not seemingly for a fool." In other words, foolishness and honor don't go together. They don't run together. You'll never have somebody who's a fool walking in honor, because they don't hang out together. It's so very important that we understand that the word foolishness has to do with our inability to walk in the spirit of honor. When a person is walking in foolishness, they just doing things for themselves, and it's there's no submission in foolishness. Foolishness and honor, as I say, they don't go together. The word foolishness, there has to be an inability of not being able to walk in integrity, you know, not being a person of your word. And that's so very important. Your word is your bond. Whatever you speak, you should be able to live by the words that you speak. You know, your integrity, your character, all of that has to do with your integrity and your uprightness in heart and actions. That's so very important. You know, everywhere you go, you should conduct yourself upright. One of the things I've learned, especially when you're part of a ministry, you I represent Word of Life Christian Center. Being an instructor, being an elder here, other things that I do, working in prison ministry, when I go and minister into the prison ministry, people see me, but what they're really seeing is the ministry. I represent the ministry. So anything that I do that's not upright in conduct, that's not upright in character, you know, is a reflection on the ministry. You know, it's just like, you know, even with your children, you know, you always want your children to behave themselves and to act orderly and respectfully, because it's a reflection on you. You know, we are a product of the ministry that God has called us to. Whoever, whatever ministry that you're a part of, you know, you want to walk upright and walk in integrity, because it's not, like I said, it's really not about you, but it's about who you represent and what you stand for. And it's so very important that you walk in that integrity. All right. The next way of building honor, number four, is serving. The fourth way to produce honor is through serving. Proverbs 27 and 17 says, iron sharpening iron, so the man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. Let me read that again. Iron sharpening iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. Verse 18, whoso keepeth the fig tree eateth the fruit thereof, so he that waited on his master shall be honored. Iron sharpens iron. When you're serving and you're walking in integrity, not only are you being strengthened by your service because you're submitting properly, but you're being sharpened by your man of God, and your service is actually sharpening other people, because they see. One of the things the Lord shared with me is that people are always watching what you do and what you say. And when you're in any kind of leadership or ministry of helps, you want to be an example of someone who serves with dignity, someone who serves with pride. And when I say pride, I'm not talking about the arrogant pride, pride in what you do, that you're going to do a good job. And I'm doing it, you know, as unto the Lord. I'm not doing it as unto myself. I'm not doing it for self-fulfillment, but I'm doing it as unto the Lord. And that's so very important. So it says, whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, so he that waited on his master shall be honored. When you serve by waiting on your master, you know, but that word master could mean your apostle, your pastor, whoever God has called you to sit under, you know, when you wait, that word wait doesn't mean sitting around just waiting for something, you know. That word wait means, you know, when you're in a restaurant, a waiter, like my wife and I, we were in a restaurant earlier this evening. She'll come and he'll come and take your order. He'll bring water, you know, he'll get your drinks. If you want any hors d'oeuvres, he'll bring those. A good waiter will make sure that your glass never runs empty. You know, a good waiter will always watch to see if you need something, and he's there and either has it or asks you if you need it, I can get you some more. You know, generally good waiters get good tips. You know, when you serve and you wait on your man of God by doing your gift, you know, if it's singing, if it's ushering, if it's greeting, you know, if it's working in other areas of the ministry of helps, whatever that is, you're actually participating and being active by waiting, because a man of God cannot do everything. I'll never forget one church I went to years ago. I was a kid. But even then, God would kind of show me that there was something wrong about this picture. The minister, he led praise and worship. Now, the church was small, granted, you know. He was a greeter in the morning when you walked in the door. He taught most of the Bible study classes, or, you know, Sunday school classes, taught the church service. And when you left that evening, he would stand at the door and shake everybody's hand. You know, I mean, he was just everywhere and doing everything. And kind of like Jethro told Moses, you're taking too much upon yourself. You know, I never forget one guy told me years ago, when I was being very active in prison ministry. I was going out, you know, sometimes 3-4 times a week. And he told me, said, you know, you need to start appointing other people to go out with you and in your spot, because it's really not about you, but it's about, you know, you getting other people hooked up and flowing in the same vein, because you wear yourself out. You won't spend time with your family. You know, there were times my wife would hardly ever see me, you know, because I was always busy doing something. And you think, well, I'm being busy for the Lord, but in certain essences, you're not actually operating in wisdom, you know, because it's about, you know, discipling others. And that's so very important. You know, if you don't have nobody to pick up the torch when you put it down or pass it on, you're really not being effective. It's more about you than about you, you know, perfecting a work and continuing to work in somebody else. So anyone who builds honor by serving, because serving will produce honor, as Elijah served Elisha, you will reap a seed of honor when you serve. As Joshua served Moses, you'll reap honor by your service. As David served Saul, you know, all of these people served, and by their service, it produced honor in their lives. Service will produce honor. The scripture says that iron sharpens iron, as we stated earlier, and that compatible metals, according to our author, each one working together complements one another, because they're functioning together and they're working together and they're making one illustration. The word I'm trying to think of what it is, synergy. You know, the sum of everything working together is greater than the individual parts. You know, when everybody's flowing together, you know, when you have designated people who are greeters, designated praise people, designated ushers, you know, everybody, security, parking lot attendants, you know. And so even when Jesus ministered, he could only be at one place at one time. But when the Holy Spirit came, now he was in everybody at all times. So now ministry was able to expand, you know, because everything about ministry should be expansion and increase, you know, and people who serve properly and know the importance of service can't help but increase in everything that they do. Most of all, if you will serve somebody, if you will serve your apostolic father, if you will serve a prophetic gift, your pastor, if you will serve, you know, in the area of ministry, the Bible says that you will reap honor. A lot of ministry gifts want to be served instead of serve. You know, the Bible says, how can you expect God to give you your own ministry if you're not, you know, serving in somebody else's ministry? That's so very important. No, service has to take place. Okay, let's move on. The next area, or the fifth area of building honor, is obedience and submission. It says in 1 Peter 3:6 how even Sarah obeyed at Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters are ye, as long as you do well and ye are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together for the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So here in the area of obedience, it's so very important. The Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. But then we're going to see, well, even in sacrifice, there could be an element of self in sacrifice. But when you submit, the author talks about submission is even better than sacrifice, because when you submit, you're totally sold out to what you're doing. So let me go to that right quick. It says in 1 Samuel 15, it says, Saul offered a sacrifice, and Samuel said unto him, obedience is better than sacrifice, even if sacrifice, even in sacrifice, there is that element of self. You have sacrifice, you have obedience, but then you have submission. So when you're you know, in the area of obedience and submission, obedience and sacrifice, you want to go that extra mile and walk in total submission, to whereas you're completely submitted. Obedience is better than sacrifice, but submission is better than obedience, because even in obedience, as I stated, there can be an element of self. Submission is total surrender. When Jesus submitted to the cross, he totally surrendered. He said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." You know, he submitted his will, his total being, to surrendering to God's will. And the Bible says because of such a great submission that God honored him, and God had given him a name that is above every name. And so it's so very important that we walk in complete and total submission. Okay, our next area of building honor is observing protocols and the law. Protocol is a way or method of doing things. Protocol is like a manual to some degree of how things are conducted. It is customary, the Bible says, to give honor to whom honor is due. That's just proper protocol. It's proper protocol when the man of God comes into the room that everybody stands up. You know, that's protocol. And one of the things we've even learned that as long as, even after the church service is over, if he's in the building, in the sanctuary, you want to remain there because you're giving honor. Because you never know what he might say or what the Holy Spirit might use him to do that's going to be a blessing to you. Honor all men. That means you have to recognize and understand where the gifts of men that are placed in society are. They're placed in government. You know, we have to honor our president, honor those who are in, you know, high or elected officials, and honor especially those who are in ministry, even more so. And that's recognizing or honoring the ranks that's in the land, honoring the ranks. In the military, there's different ranks. You know, there's different ranks of generals, from brigadier general all the way up to major general, all the way up to commandant. You know, then there's majors, there's captains, there's lieutenants, and each rank honors the rank that's above them. You salute and you stop and you give the right of way to a general or somebody of a greater rank. That's honoring the ranks. In ministry, one of the things we have to get a clear understanding of, and I said this many times, you know, we're not all equal in ministry. There's different levels, there's different ranks. And when you honor those of greater rank than yourself, and we're going to talk about this in the area of giving that's coming up, it's an area of sowing upward, of honoring somewhat of a greater gift, so that the blessing that's on their lives could come down on you. And that's so very important. When you know where men's gifts lie, you show honor to those gifts and their ranks. That's observing protocol. Then the scripture says, when you honor the king, you will be honored. When you begin to honor and observe protocol, the scripture says you will be given honor also. So as many people that don't honor and that don't respect, they can't expect honor back because they're not sowing honor. And that's so very important that in order to be honored, you must first sow honor. You observe the protocols when you honor the gifts of men that God has placed in the body of Christ. This is giving honor to whom honor is due. When you observe, you're observing protocol when you honor the gifts. You know, somebody may have a teaching gift, or somebody may have a preaching gift. One of the things I've learned in prison ministry, we have several men who minister and who teach in prison ministry. Each particular individual has a unique gift. Some people, they're more exalters. They'll exalt the inmates and they admonish and they're good motivators and they're pumping them up in exaltation. And then we have other men, they're just downright preachers. They'll get up there and they'll just preach the word. You know, Reverend Ledoux is an excellent example of somebody who can just flat foot preach. You know, when he opens his mouth, he starts preaching. You know, other people are more in the teaching mode. They'll get up there and they'll start explaining and expounding and dissecting the word and breaking it down line upon line, precept upon precept. But it's so important to be able to honor, recognize those gifts and honor those gifts. Because when you do so, you bring honor to yourself by honoring and recognizing the gifts that's in the land. When you understand and recognize the apostolic gift that's over this house, when you honor that apostolic gift, what happens? The grace that's on his life now flows down to our life because we honor. You know, when we go and we sow seeds at the altar, we're honoring that apostolic gift. You know, honor the gift that's in the land. Amen. All right, well, that brings us right into giving. That's the next one. The seventh way to build honor is through giving. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses burst forth with new wine. So you want to honor God with your substance. Honor God with the first fruits of your increase. And that's so very important. That's giving. One way to produce honor in your life and to build honor in your life is by giving. The Bible says that your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. Your gift, your seed, will make room for you and bring you before great men. That's so very important. Hebrews 7 and 7 says, without all, now it's talking about Abraham offering paying tithes to Melchizedek in the book of Hebrews. It talks about Melchizedek having no beginning and no end and how Abraham offered up tithes to Melchizedek. Well, in verse 7, it says, without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. In other words, those of lesser gifts are blessed of the better when they honor and they respect and they sow and they give tithes or give offering. They sowing up. That's known as upward giving. You're sowing up so that the blessing that's on his life can come down on your life. And that's so very important that we recognize when people bring money to the altar, they're sowing up. They're sowing into the anointing, you know, sowing into the gift. And by sowing into the gift, the prosperity anointing that's on his life now flows down. Remember, I talked about Aaron, how Aaron being a high priest and when the anointing oil was poured upon him, how the oil ran down from his head to his shoulders, down to his hands and his down to his torso, all the way down to his feet. Well, when you're positioned properly and you're aligned properly and you're connected and sowing into that gift, well, then that oil, that anointing, that grace is coming upon you also. You know, so it's so very important that we know how to sow upward. Going back to Hebrews 7 and 7, it says, this scripture refers to upward giving, sowing up so that the blessing can come down on your life, or sowing into someone that God has turned into sorrow. Now, one of the things about giving you really have to be careful about is not all and every sorrow is this of the same that has the same richness. That's the best way I can put it. You know, you want to sow into rich, fertile soil. And we know that the apostle is rich, fertile soil. You know, I used to think for years, well, you can just sow into just any ministry. Yes, you can, you know, but your return's going to be different. You know, you want to sow into soil that's going to produce a harvest. Certain parts of North Louisiana have hard clay, and there's only certain crops you can grow up there. You know, you don't see a whole lot of sugar cane growing up there. You don't see a whole lot of things that's growing in the south that you see in the north, because the soil, the complexity of the soil is different. The nutrients in the soil is different. You know, so, you know, that's the law of sowing and reaping. You want to sow into good, fertile, anointed soil. And when you do so, you're going to receive an abundant harvest of the seeds that you sow. As scripture I read earlier about a man's gift will make room for him, that's in Proverbs 18 and 16. When you sow upward, the blessing come down to your level. Giving produces honor. And I stated earlier, it is important that we understand where we're given and the individuals we're given into, because you want to make sure, like I said, you're sowing into good soil. Okay, number eight, protecting your leader will produce honor. By protecting your leader, all of us have an obligation to protect the anointing that's on our man of God's life. The first illustration that I can remember as being a member of Word of Life that I saw, and I might have even shared this, was years ago at camp meeting. The apostle ministered for Kenneth Hagin on a Tuesday, the first time he had ever ministered, and the largest offering that was ever taken or collected on a Tuesday. Well, right after that, the apostle, Miss Carolyn, and all the kids, they were all kids at that time, went to eat at the restaurant right across the street in the hotel at the convention. And I'll never forget, the family surrounded the apostle. Anybody who wanted to get to the apostle had to first come through the family. Because one of the things he would always say after he finished ministering, he's coming down from the anointing. And that was, at that time, that was the strongest message I had ever heard him preach. Now, he's preached many more and much more powerful messages since then. But this was like, you know, at 15, 20,000 people at a camp meeting in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And that's when he first introduced them the message of money coming to the body of Christ. And then shortly after that, we started having the two-week training session on the book Money Coming. That's where the book Money Coming came from. But seeing that, you know, that picture of them just kind of huddled around him the way, because his back was against a wall. And the seats went out kind of was a round table. And people would come to shake his hand, but they had to pass through, you know, Reverend Montrell, Reverend Leroy Jr., you know, Miss Carolyn, you know, Shauna, you know, and it was the Lord showed me that was a form of protection. You know, everybody, when our services are being conducted, praise and worship, I'm watching and I'm praying. I'm always looking, and you know, even though it may not necessarily be my, you know, my direct assignment, just looking for anything that don't look normal. People who might have hidden agendas. You know, there's things I've spotted just by watching and just being observant. The Bible says to watch and pray, you know, because you want to protect the anointed. You want to protect the flow of service. And that's why, you know, we can bear protection, you know, as ushers. I mean, I know ushers have been instructed to look for certain things, look for certain signs, you know. You see, Satan, he'll do anything he can. I'm going to give you some illustrations. My time is running out. But I've been in services where people came into the service to disrupt the service, you know. And because there was security, the security took them out. This one guy came, he started from the back, and he kept working his way, finding vacant seats, until he actually made it up to the first row. And he went to attack. It wasn't our apostle, but it was another prominent minister. Went to launch at the first family. And the minute he got out the seat, the two security guards who was on the end, they tackled him and wrestled him to the ground and hauled him off in the back. And when you watched the videotape, you didn't even, all you saw was a man of God continuing to preach. He just looked over there and says, they're doing their ministry. You keep focusing on what I'm saying. And they you know, hauled him off. And, you know, but I learned from those experiences, protecting the anointing. And I remember another particular situation where, let's see, how can I say this one? An usher in the church, a minister was ministering, and for some reason, this usher got the notion to walk up to the man of God who was behind the pulpit, hit him behind the head, and they escorted her out, you know. And then after that, his security guy stepped forward, and as he walked, the security guy walked right with him. But it's a matter of protecting the anointing. You see, as the ministry grows and as God begins to use our apostle more, you know, all kind of undesirables may try to come in. Now, we pray and we believe God that, you know, that no weapon formed against us is going to prosper, and that, you know, God's going to expose, reveal, remove, and replace, and that, you know, that, you know, there's a hedge of protection around us. But, you know, you have to be diligent. And that's so very important. And I'm not going to belabor on that too much because my time is running out. But I've seen, like I said, in other meetings and other situations where things happen, you know, and it's so very important that you know, the jet is a means of protecting the anointing, you know, things that keeps him separated from the public and people not just being able to have access. Like, you know, sometimes he doesn't come out and talk. He'll just go back in the back. You know, a lot of that has to do with protecting that anointing and coming down from that anointing. But it's our job to recognize that and to do our part to protect that anointing and to protect our leader. And by doing so, reproduce honor. Let me move on. Next aspect, number 9, is worship. And I changed it up a little bit. Worship, prayer, and I put fasting also. Because with prayer, fasting needs to come along with that, you know, and that will produce honor. Psalms 149:6 says, let the high praises of God be in our mouth as a two-edged sword to execute upon them judgment written. This honor hath all his saints. Praise you the Lord. You know, when you're praying and fasting and worshiping God, that's going to produce honor because now you're separating yourself under God. God is able to speak to you more clearly and give you direction and put you in a position of honor. Let me move on because my time is running short. Number 10, understanding covering. And I want to spend some time with that. Proverbs 31:23 says, her husband is known in the gates. She sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and sells it and delivers girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her covering. The 10th way to build honor is understanding covering. A covering, just like my coat is a covering and it protects me from the cold. You know, if you have a raincoat, that'll protect you from the rain, an umbrella. Well, when you're placed under an anointing, under a man of God, there is a spiritual covering that covers you and protects you because you're part of an assignment. And when you're part of an assignment, you become valuable to God. And God will see to it that because of the covering, you know, when the enemy tries to latch out against you, that covering is there to protect you and to shield you from any apparent danger. I mean, there's times in my life I know that it was the covering of God that protected me, protected my family from unseen danger that tried to creep his ugly face up. But because of covering, you know, it was like water on a duck's back. It just rolled off and it wasn't no effect whatsoever. And it's important that you know who your covering is and why you have a covering and the purpose for a covering. Because covering and connection, those two go hand in hand. We talked about connection last week to some degree. But a connection is you connecting with your pastor, your apostle, you know, if it's an apostolic apostle or if it's a prophetic man of God. You connect properly, and by that connection, it puts you under the covering, and that covering is there. It sickness and disease. I mean, one of the things the apostle he shared just this Sunday, he mentioned a few people who, because of them being under covering, how that covering saved their lives, how families were mended back together. You know, I mean, think of the family. Just people I know who their families are intact because of a covering, because of a word from a man of God speaking, you know, into their lives as a protection and a covering, you know, and the forces of darkness are pushed back and dispelled. So, you know, covering, when you know covering and understand covering, that will most definitely build honor in your life. With 1 second left, that's it. Amen. All right. We will have our test next week. It's going to come straight from our quizzes. So I know everybody's going to do well. I'll see you guys next class session. Amen.